So now, how this manasam japaha, the japa done mentally, serves as meditation. See, the manasam japaha, mentally done japaha, how it serves as meditation. When you chant, so manas, when I say japaha itself, you know very well, the repetition of one mantra, a repetition of one name of the Lord, one nama. So repeated utterance of one nama or one mantra. A nama itself becomes a mantra. When you say Rama, 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 but I added, because it's oral, I added a tune. When you join mentally, there's no raga. Just Rama comes. Pavadri, you say, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. To make you understand, I'm chanting it orally. I mean, saying it orally. Otherwise, it is, mentally means no movement of this tongue also inside. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Or any mantra you like, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. When you chant a given mantra, only one mantra you chant, not every, all the mantras. Where is attention? Attention must be on this nama, the name you recite mentally. When the attention of the mind is held by the nama, initially the mind may be, attention may be distracted. It can go here and there. That is why always when you chant, when you start manasa japaha, you just do it and then few times you say mentally and mind's attention slowly gets distracted, goes somewhere. And you bring the attention back, because you are conscious of attention getting distracted. You can bring it back, again you practice it. And when you practice constantly for some time, then whenever you sit in japa, manasa japaha, sit for manasam japaha, then attention comes to, just attention is held by this nama, name alone, mantra alone. Now, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Nothing else is there. Attrition of the mind is there, and then the nama, the object of your meditation is the jap, the mantra. The object of your manasam japaha, the attention is held by this the mantra. So as you are chanting, nothing else is there. Just the japa. Just the name alone, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. This alone is there. Every time the mantra has a beginning, the mantra has an end. Like Om Namah Shivaya. When the mantra begins, mantra ends. Again, same mantra begins, same mantra ends. Same mantra begins, same mantra ends. Same mantra begins, same mantra ends. What is object of a thought? This mantra. When the object, between the two mantras, between the two, so all the thoughts are many, but objects of a thought is only one. Thoughts are many, but object of thought is only one. Suppose your mantra is Om Namah Shivaya or Rama, then thoughts are many. Every object of every thought is what? This nama. One nama. So every time the name ends, the mantra ends, Om Namah Shivaya. Before you have to, you have to begin again, Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. So there are thoughts, two thoughts, the same name. Then in between, every time the mantra ends, before you begin the mantra, what is object of meditation? There is no object of meditation. There is no object at all. Just the silence. Understand? Because in between the two thoughts, but both the thoughts, object is the mantra. And in between the two mantras, before, after the end, when the mantra ends, before the mantra begins, for fraction of second, not even for, fraction of a fraction of second, there is what? The attention is not held by any object. Just it is by itself. That what is there then? Just the silence. Turbulence-free mind. What is this silence? There is no thought. Understand? No? In between the two thoughts, in between the consequent mantras, what is there? Just the silence. What is the silence? That silence is the swarupam of the reality. For a fraction of a second, you are just yourself. I mean, just you are with the silence. There is just silence in between. But you can't know immediately. But you are with silence. You are just with the vastu. Because that silence, that's why silent, when you say, the adjective is always for the mind. Silent mind and noisy mind, we say. But silence, the noun is the swarupam of the reality. We can't say silent reality. Silence is reality. Reality is silence. There's no noise on the part of the reality. Therefore, there is, in meditation, you are able to be, you are made, you are helped to be yourself. Without knowing what you are, you are helped to be yourself. You are helped to be just this, to be the silence, the reality, the swarupam. The mind is able to be the silence. Not the silent, but silence. That's also, because that is what is later on that has to help. That's also there in this nama manasam japa. That is also gained as a result of manasam japaha. One can learn to be with swarupam. But even then, that is not the end of everything. We are going to see, actually we have to differentiate contemplation and meditation. We have to know the difference between meditation and contemplation. That we will see later on. But how meditate, does the meditation contribute? That way we have to understand this also. Many people come and tell us sometimes, oh, I meditate, I experience silence. They come and tell us. But really speaking, as long as silence is an object of experience for them, then still they are not accomplished. Isn't it? Because the experience goes. Any experience will go. But it is your help to be with the reality. It helps. Like what? When the child starts, crawling, and slowly gets up and stands by itself. It will fall immediately. This child needs what? Then support. Now for the child to be able to walk, it needs what? Baby walker. The walker, in India we have different type of baby walker, not like the one you have here. It just has three wheels, it will be there. The child has to hold this and it has to, as the walker moves, the baby walker moves, the child slowly can put its steps ahead and then it can walk, holding on to that. Then sometimes the baby is able to walk, And you slowly take the walker out. Now they remove the walker, make the child stand. The child can walk without the walker. One or two steps, not very long. But at one or two steps the child can walk by itself. Like this japa, no? The manasam japa, what it does, it helps, it holds attention. So, attention is not available for anything else. Then when the japa ends, the mantra ends, before the same mantra begins, after the mantra ends, before the mantra begins, in between what? The baby walker is taken away. You are just able to just stand by yourself. Like that, you are just yourself then. In between. The silence is very surupam of the reality. You know, the meditation helps one to be with reality. Even though you are always with reality, because when the mind is with some object, you are not with reality. Attention is not with the reality. No object is there for attention of the mind. Attention of the mind is with the reality. In deep sleep state, what happens is no object of thought. Attention is where? Where is attention of the mind? With reality only. But unfortunately, you are asleep. There is no knowledge that you are. Whereas in meditation, you are. You know you are. And no object is there. No object is holding attention. So where is attention then? When to avoid the attention being held by many objects, look at this. To avoid attention being held by many objects, thereby to avoid the attention being scattered, you have to hold on to one object and keep again and again and again focus attention on one object. That is what is japa here, nama japa. Understand now? Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. So, no other object is there. Attention is focused now. And now, this object also, Namah Shivaya mantra also is not there. What is there? Just awareness. No? Just silence alone is there. Then where are you now? Attention is not with an object means attention is by itself. Understand now? By itself means attention is with the reality. That is why meditation helps you to be with the silence, the swarupam of the reality. Got it now? This is how manasa japaha serves as meditation. And here, the next mantra verse actually talks about the meditation. What is actually meditation? How the meditation should be? Okay, so meditation helps you to be with reality. But meditation does not help you recognize the reality. Look at this, very important here. Meditation helps you to be with reality, doesn't help you recognize the reality. Understand? That is why you have to recognize the reality first. Then, when you are with the reality, you are with the reality. It is. But we'll see later on how that is. But now, what is meditation actually? That is said in this next verse. See, when you are meditating upon something, are given mantra. Or a form, it can be form, an altar which stands for the form which stands for Bhagavan the whole. Then you have an object of meditation. See, a meditation is what? Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. What is? It's called a Saguna Dhyanam. Dhyanam means meditation or Upasanam. I told you. The previous verse, actually, when he explained the worship is as good as upasanam, meditation. Because attention of the object of your focus stands for Bhagavan, therefore it is upasanam, I said. Meditation. Worship also is upasana, meditation. But here, now just the meditation itself, the manasam karma, what is the object of meditation? The object of your focus of your attention is Bhagavan, stands for Bhagavan, represents Bhagavan, is a symbol of Bhagavan, only then it is meditation. The attention is held by a given object for length of time, that object doesn't stand for Bhagavan, then it is not meditation, it's just practicing of development, improvement of concentration only. Just a practice of improving your concentration. Just the concentration that is. We cannot call it meditation. When do you call the concentration a meditation? If the object of attention, the meditation is, stands for Bhagavan, represents Bhagavan, a symbol of Bhagavan, then it is meditation. So, Sagunam Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Sagunam Brahma means what? Sagunam Brahma means with attributes. Reality with attributes, now we say Sagunam Brahma. Any form which stands for Ishvara, Bhagavan, the whole, is what? Sagunam Brahma. Any form is, the whole Jagat is Sagunam Brahma. The reality with form is with the form. And what? The whole universe is reality with the form only. The form, different forms are, reality has no form, but all the forms are reality only. So Sagunam. The form becomes what? The name. Form has a name. The name and form is an attribute, sagunam, of the reality. The attributeless reality alone has these names and forms now. Isn't it? So here we say Saguna Brahma means Ishwaraha. Saguna Brahma, Vishaya means object. Manasa Vyaparaha. The mental activity for which the object of your mental activity, meditation, is Sagunam Brahma Ishvara. So name or a mantra of the mantra, a given name of the Lord or form of the Lord, is which stands for Bhagavan, is the object of your meditation. It is called Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Manasa Vyaparaha, mental activity, which is Dhyanam, which is Upasanam. And what is the Vishaya, the object of your Manasa Vyaparaha, the mental activity, is what? Object of your meditation is what? Sagunam Brahma Ishvara, which stands for the Lord Ishvara. Then it is called meditation. Sagunam Brahma or Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha is Saguna Brahma Dhyanam or Saguna Brahma Upasanam or meditation. Then you focus attention, then what happens? There, in this meditation, the object of meditation which stands for Bhagavan, Ishvara, the whole, is different from the one who is meditating. The meditator is different from the object of meditation, the meditated. The meditator meditated, difference is there in Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha in this meditation. In this meditation. Whereas, there is another meditation which is called contemplation, which is also Manasa Vyaparaha. Nirguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha is what? Contemplation. Or Nirguna Dhyanam, we can call it Nirguna Dhyanam or Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, which is otherwise called contemplation. Why do you say, if you see English dictionary, meditation and contemplation are the same, you can see the same page. Why? Because both are mental activities only. Contemplation is a mental activity, meditation is a mental activity, focusing the attention of the mind on a given object for a length of time is meditation. Isn't it? That object should stand for Ishvara. In meditation, the difference is that it's only object which stands for Ishvara. Therefore, its difference is there. Whereas in contemplation, you recognize the reality, recognize the Swarupam of the reality. You have recognized the Swarupam of the reality. So having recognized the Swarupa of the reality, having understood, having known the Swarupa of reality, then focusing your attention on that very reality, on the very Swarupa of the reality, is what? Nirguna Brahma Dhyanam, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Nirguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. So contemplation is a mental activity, meditation is a mental activity, both are mental activities. Any mental activity is meditation. Therefore, contemplation is meditation, no doubt. But meditation is not contemplation. Why? Because the object of meditation is not different from the meditator. In contemplation, the object of meditation is the very subject of meditation. Understand? The meditate swarupam of the reality, which has been recognized as the very self, is meditated upon. The nature of the reality, which is already recognized, you've been recognized, and which is meditated upon, recognized as the self, is meditated upon. The reality, Swarupam of the reality, has been recognized as the Swarupam of the very, meditator. Then, when the mind is focused on the very nature of the reality, recognized as the self, wherein meditator, meditated, difference is not there, then it is called contemplation. Is it clear now? Difference between meditation and contemplation? Contemplation is meditation. Why? Because contemplation is a mental activity. But meditation is not contemplation, because in meditation, the object of meditation is different from the meditator. Whereas in contemplation, the object of meditation is the very swarupam of the meditator, which is swarupam of the reality of the entire cosmos. Understand it, don't worry about it now. But what I want to say here, this meditation, okay, now we are not talking about the contemplation. Before, because it, Swamiji says he himself wanted to re-edit it, because somebody, some small mistakes are there. That is one of the reasons why I didn't want to give the book also. But here, in meditation, what happens? Now we are not talking about the contemplation, we are talking about the meditation itself. When you focus attention of the mind on a given object and you practice, you try to bring your attention to focus on the object of meditation. Attention goes here and there, attention is scattered, you bring the attention to the object of meditation and you keep on practicing. But what happens as you sit in meditation, suppose whether you do japa of the given mantra, mentally you do the japam, or you focus attention on a given form of the Lord, then what happens as you're focusing for some time, the attention remains, attention is held by the object of meditation. But slowly attention gets what? Distracted. Something distracts and the attention goes elsewhere. Understand? This is called virala chintanam. See that now? Virala chintana means what? The disrupted, disturbed, meditation. Interrupted meditation. The meditation where attention of the mind is in between, not held by the object, is interrupted. And now, it's interrupted meditation. Virala chintana. Chintanam is thinking. Constantly, continuously focusing one's attention on a given object which stands for Bhagavan, a name or a mantra or a form, is what? Meditation. Isn't it? But that attention is not held continuously for a length of time. In between, it is interrupted. I mean, attention goes elsewhere. Goes elsewhere. You are practicing meditation. Okay, you are doing meditation. But still what? Attention goes elsewhere. It's called interrupted. Okay? Virala chintanam. It becomes interrupted. But he says, that is okay initially. You have to, whenever you start meditation or manasam japaha, manasam japaha, which is meditation, and of course if you are visualizing a given form of the Lord also is what? Meditation only. Attention of the mind is focused on a given object which stands for Bhagavan, name or form, then attention gets interrupted, means it is virala chintanam. That is okay initially, but the virala chintanam has to become sarala chintanam. What is sarala chintanam? Uninterrupted, interruption free, disturbance free, unbroken meditation. It's called sarala chintanam. That is actually meditation. Sarala chintanam. How once you focus attention on the given object, without any interruption, without any distraction, the mind must be able to, the attention of the mind must be, you must be able to focus attention on the object of meditation without any interruption, without any distraction, disturbance. The sarala chintanam is, in fact, better than, that is what is we have to have, better than this virala chintanam. And sarala chintanam must be like what? He says here, we'll see the verse now. Ajadharaya srotasa samam. Ajadharaya srotasa samam. Sarala chintanam viralata param. Ajadharaya srotasa samam.
Ajadharaya
srotasa samam. Ajadharaya srotasa samam. Ajadharaya srotasa samam. Sarala chintanam viralata param. Sarala chintanam viralata param. So viralataha param. Viralata means viralat param. Virala chintanat param. What is better than virala chintanam is sarala chintanam. So uninterrupted, interruption free meditation is better than interrupted meditation. The how to have it? He says, how should be the sarala chintanam? How can be the uninterrupted meditation? He says, ajyadharaya samam. Now the sarala chintanam, the continuous constant flow of thoughts, interruption free flow of thoughts, must be like samam. Must be like what? Ajyadhara. Ajyadharaya samam. Ajyam means literally, you can say oil, it means a clarified butter, it is a ghee melted in the sunlight. Imagine, we cannot imagine what this ajyam is in this country, in this weather. There is no sun and then you can't even have it, ajyam. Even in winter, summer, I don't think here it is possible. In India it is possible, even in winter. Hot sun is so hot, bright sun. So here ajyam is a butter melted in the sunlight, is ajyam. So okay, ghee in that matter. And then in performing rituals, for us, ghee is the main oblation for us. The most important oblation for us in all of our rituals is ghee. Any ritual, any fire ritual you perform, you have to offer ghee. Any samid, you take a small stick, the fuel, now we use it to offer. We stick, touch it in that ghee and we put it into the fire. So ajyam is important oblation for us. And when you perform big rituals, and now we have to pour ghee, so much of ghee we will be pouring into the fire. And how do we pour? We don't pour like this. They'll be poured very beautifully. Know that we have big, because the fire will be, flames will be coming out like this. So you can't just sit, people can't even sit next to that and then pour, putting. They'll be sitting also. last the big Purnahuti, how do you put? We have big wooden ladles. Big wooden ladles we have. And you had to pour ghee from all the one side, you know that? They'll be pouring ghee, take big, you know, lots of ghee they'll put, they'll pour on the big ladles. And they'll be, you know, actually the ghee will go like this. They move, flow like this. It will flow and then it be falling into the fire. How it will fall? They won't be break, it won't get drop by drop, no. It will be going like one line, straight line. The flow of ghee, you know, poured into the fire will be like one straight line. Be flowing like this. Non-stop, it will be going. It's called Ajyadhara, flow of the ghee into the fire. Now, during the performance of fire ritual, Ajyadhara, unbroken. Like that. Yet the flow of thoughts must be what? Unbroken. Attention of the mind is with the object of meditation. And then the flow of thoughts is what? Unbroken chain of thoughts. Ajyadharaya samam. Like the flow of ghee into the fire. Why the ghee is used? There's a significance of the word ghee being mentioned. I'll tell you later on. Then srotasa samam. Srotas means a stream or small river. Also, there's a flow of water in the river. No, srotas is a sakaranta napusakalinga shabda. Srotasa samam, sakaranta shabda. Now, how does the water flow in the river or a stream? Now, the water will be flowing. Effortlessly, the water is flowing. The water does not need to make any effort to keep flowing. And there will be a lot of obstacles. The big stones, the small stones, still the water can jump, climb onto the stones and jumps. Again, the flow is not obstructed by any obstacles in between. The water keeps moving, saralam, effortlessly, continuously, no, unbroken, no, without any break, the water keeps flowing. Like the flow of the, you know, effortless flow of the water, like the unbroken, you know, flow of the ghee into this fire. One's attention must be focused on the object of meditation. Thereby, the meditation is not, you know, interrupted. Is it clear now? Ajyadharaya samam dhyanam. Look at this. Ajyadharaya samam dhyanam, srotasa samam dhyanam. Two examples are given here. Srotas and ajyam, the flow of ghee and the flow of water in the river or a stream is given examples. So, this always uninterrupted meditation is the meditation. Interrupted meditation is okay initially, but it has to become what? Interruption-free meditation. And how to make the interrupted meditation into an interruption-free meditation? How to have the broken chain of thoughts into unbroken chain of thoughts? How to convert it into interruption-free meditation? Ramana Maharshi says, it is possible. Because, he says, if the love for object of meditation is there, then it is possible. Attention, nothing can distract the attention. Amazing, isn't it? I tell you, it's a very beautiful thing. Love for object of meditation is there. In fact, love for the object is always there. Had discovered love for the object of meditation. You know what it is. That's why they say, in fact, the ajyam means the ghee, and the ghee are also, now we have one more word called snihyati. There's a verb called snihyati. Gachati, patati, likhati, that is snihyati. From that the noun has come. Now what is the noun? Snehaha is a noun which has come from the verb snihyati. The root is snih. the fourth conjugation verb. Okay, snihyati, snih dhatu. And then sneha means oil. Friendship is called oil. Friendship also is called sneha. Oil also is called sneha in Sanskrit. No way. Friendship means what? Emotionally getting stuck is called sneha. Understand now? That's what is friendship. What is friendship? Emotionally and getting entangled is what? Understand? Sticky. Getting stuck emotionally is sneha. And something sticky also what? Sneha. Understand now? Oil is sticky. That's why it's called sneha. And you, what is sneha? Friendship? Emotionally stuck somewhere. You're not able to take it. That's what is sneha. Understand? Amazing, isn't it? So here also, if you have sneha, if your attention gets has to stick, it's stuck with what? The object of meditation. So what is sneha then? When do you get stuck with the object of the friendship also, no? The love for, liking for object. Love for object. You can't be friendly. You can't have friendship with people, no, who do not think alike. Something is desirable, something is nice, you know, then you get stuck. Isn't it? Something. Very natural. So here also, so here, the love for the object of meditation, you know, will help you to be attached, to get stuck with the object of meditation. You won't take the attention. Attention cannot be taken away from the object of meditation if you love the object of meditation. How do you love the object of meditation? How can you have the love for, no, if you have, you are attracted towards the object of meditation. How do you get attracted towards the object of meditation? You have to understand here. If you know, actually the, what you are searching for is fullness. What you are seeking is fullness and happiness. And that happiness is what? You know, happiness is something which you love, which you like. In fact, expression of fullness is love. So love, you know what is the value of the object is known, the love for the object is natural. It is easy for one to have the love for object, to get attracted towards the object, if you know the value of the object. Value of the object alone attracts your mind towards that object. If you do not know the value of the object, you will not be attracted towards the given object. When are you attracted towards something? Tell me. When you know the value of it, when you need it. Isn't it? Similarly, if you know the value of the object, what is the value of the object? The object of meditation here is very self, the very reality, which is of the nature of fullness. Okay? In this is the, that because once you recognize it, you know you have the fullness. And fullness is, in fact, that is what you're seeking. You want fullness. So you know the value of the object. Because you know the value of the object, you're attracted towards the object. Once then you have love for the object, liking for the object, your sneha for the object, then your attention can, it is easy for you to meditate upon the object. Meditate upon the object which is actually the subject. It is easy for one to focus one attention on the given object which stands for Bhagavan or which is Bhagavan Swarup itself, once you know the value of it. That is why value of the object of meditation helps you remain attracted towards the object of meditation. Remaining attracted towards the object of meditation helps you have love for the object of meditation, helps you to be with the object of meditation. Thereby, your meditation can be interruption-free meditation. Is it clear now? Not clear? this will you will know that. And the more you focus, the more you remain in meditation, the more you understand, you discover the joy, the more you are with yourself, the more you are in meditation, the more you are with fullness. The more you are with fullness, the more joy you discover, the more you are free from problems, the more you are attracted towards that. The more you will be able to be in meditation. This is the only way your virala chintanam can be made sarala chintanam. The interrupted meditation can be made into an interruption-free meditation. Sneha. Then, when the love for object of meditation is there, then naturally the meditation becomes effortless also. When there is no liking for the object of meditation, you force yourself. Meditation can never force yourself to sit in meditation. I tell you. Meditation is not, understand now, if you think I have to sit and meditate, I have to think about it. If you think forcing yourself, that is when monkey jumps a lot, okay? You can never think of what you want to think of. When you think not to think of something, that is when you will be thinking only of that. Understand? That is the nature of the mind. That is why meditation cannot be forced upon somebody. Understand now? Come on, sit and meditate. You yourself force yourself to sit in meditation, even though it won't work. Understand? Even if you force yourself, it won't work. If you do not know the value of what you're doing, it's very important. You know the value of meditation, then you become effortless. You know, I've been telling you this one thing. See, the following disciplines. Listen to me one thing. Any discipline, anything I do this, do's and don'ts we have. This is right, this is wrong, we have to do this way, we should not do this way like that. We have disciplines. We follow disciplines. The disciplines followed without knowing the value of disciplines becomes a burden. You know that? Following disciplines without knowing the value of following disciplines becomes a burden. Following disciplines with the knowledge of the value of disciplines becomes joy. Isn't it? When do the children also feel so burdened and bored with what you say? They don't like to do that because they do not know the value of what they are forced to do. That's why they feel burdened. They themselves, without being told, they follow the disciplines when they know the value of it, when they discover joy in following disciplines. So here also, the meditation, interrupted meditation, becomes an interruption-free meditation when you discover love for the object, value of the object of meditation. No? Then you discover love for the object. When the love for the object is there, you are attracted towards the object. Attraction towards the object is there. Nothing can drag your attention away from the attention of mind. In fact, Bhagavatam and all we say, how all the gopis attracted towards Krishna, nothing could distract their minds from Krishna. They're so fond of Krishna. That means what? Nothing could take the minds of a gopi away from Krishna. They always want to be with Krishna. That's what it is presented in the romantic sense. That's a different thing. But what I'm saying, the beauty is, you have to, that's why, to be attracted towards the object of meditation helps you have the uninterrupted, interruption-free meditation. Attraction to an object is possible if you have love for the object of meditation. Love for object of meditation is possible only for the value of the object of meditation. Isn't it? Is it clear now? Therefore, that's why the Ajya Dhara, the word Ajyam implies, in fact, means that one remaining attracted towards object of meditation, they're having love for the object of meditation, knowing the value of object of meditation. You know? that helps one just have interruption-free meditation. And also the flow also what then, once you have love for object of meditation, I tell you, nothing can stop you, nothing can take attention away from object of meditation. The flow will be what? No? Effortless. Just as the water flows effortlessly, it does not strenuous. The water doesn't have any strain in flowing towards. Isn't it? Here also you have no strain. It becomes, it's not a strenuous job for you. It's an effortless, thing. Meditation becomes effortless one, like the flow of water. Meditation becomes easier. Therefore, always interruption-free, constant, continuous flow of thoughts is what actually, in fact, the thought is there, the attention is uninterrupted. Uninterruptedly, the attention is focused on the vastu. So that's why meditation is done, whereas contemplation is not done. When we say the person who is practicing meditation, we have to say he is practicing meditation means he is in contemplation. The person is in contemplation. Dhyanathil iruttal and dhyanathai seidal. Doing meditation is different from being in meditation. In contemplation, one is in meditation. Whereas in meditation, one is doing meditation. Because in contemplation, the attention of the mind remains in its own swarupam. Don't worry about all those things. This verse will be further explained later on. For the following verses. Is it clear now? Am I clear or not? Ajadharaya srotasasamam. Ajadharaya srotasasamam. Sarala chintanam viralatav param. Sarala chintanam viralatav param. Actually, what happens when you start practicing meditation, definitely there may be some disturbances, some obstacles in meditation. Because whenever you sit for meditation, or in fact without even sitting, just being around, you can be in contemplation. But for meditation, you sit to practice meditation. And then naturally attention is taken away from everything and attention is focused on a given object. Therefore what? You are physically also so relaxed and mentally also so relaxed. You're focusing. And naturally, always one is supposed to close one's eyes. Closing your eyes means what? You need not close your eyes like this. Closing your eyes means effortlessly, be relaxed way of closing one's eyes. Bhagavad Gita says, when your eyeballs, when you see downwards, what happens? The eyeball should come to the middle of the eyes. One has to close one eyes in order to bring the eyeballs to the middle of the eyes. Know that? In the middle of the eyebrows. What is the middle of the eyebrow? This is the middle of the eyebrow. If the eyeball has to come here in the middle of the eyebrow. Eyeballs have to come to the middle of the eyebrows. Means you have to close your eyes like this. Other eyeballs cannot come to the middle of the eyes. know that. The eyeball had to come in the middle of the eyebrows. That means had to close your eyes like this. How you should close? That means you are not close your eyes completely. You can see here. It looks as though you are seeing the tip of your nose. You are not seeing a tip of the nose. It looks as though you are seeing a tip of the nose. Please don't see the tip of the nose and you will all have headache. It looks as though you are seeing the tip of the nose. but you're sitting there and you're seeing there. But for other person, it will look, you seem to be seeing the tip of the nose, but eyeballs are in the middle of their eyebrows. And for other person, it looks as though you have closed your eyes. But you are not completely closed your eyes. That's why Lord Shiva, I can see always he will be sitting like this. They will be little open. Know that? Underneath. Eyes are closed. Eyes are closed, so nothing is seen. So nothing can take attention of the mind towards itself. So what? Therefore, the eyes are closed means attention cannot be taken away. In fact, attention of the mind mostly taken away by objects of sight. You know that? That's why eyes are called nayanam. No, any eye is called nayanam. Nayati iti nayanam. It takes away the mind towards the object. That's why it's called nayanam. You know that? One of the names of the eyes is called nayanam. Because nayati. Neti. Can you say now? Nayati iti netram. Nayati iti netram. Nayati iti nayanam. It takes away the mind. Anything you see, mind goes there after that. When the eyes are closed, attention is not available for the objects of thought. Even the attention can be taken away. At least somewhat you are relaxed. Therefore what? Slowly, when you sit like this, it is very conducive for the mind is relaxed, body is relaxed, attention is not distracted. Slowly all thoughts, you know, feel like being resolved. Get like, no? Therefore, all thoughts may be resolved. So, you may fall asleep. Like, that's why Vedanta class also sometimes puts people to sleep. Why? Because in a way you're relaxed here. That is why you sleep, fall asleep. You sleep. Many people come and sleep. Meditation classes, people sleep. And early in the morning, 6 o'clock, you should see now Gurukulam. Swamiji, Ruchar knows that. Now, 6 o'clock in the morning, Swamiji will be talking. Slowly somebody will make noise like this. Maybe 6 o'clock in the morning, people will sleep in the snore. No, Richa, remember that. Early morning, many people will sleep in the class. Swamiji will be talking. Jai, Jai, Govinda, Jai, Hari, Govinda. Swamiji starts like that. Jai, Jai, Govinda, Jai, Hari, Govinda. Be wonderful. Slow and silent like that. Why are you saying? It is very natural for one to fall asleep when one starts practicing meditation. But because mind is relaxed, body is relaxed, it is very, you know, it's called a layaha, this problem of having the obstacle of, you know, sleep in meditation is what? Called a layaha. Then there's something called a vikshepaha. Whenever you, sometimes if we don't sleep, what happens? Eyes are closed, you are sitting quietly. No, it is very easy for the mind to jump on from one thought to the other thought. It can go, you know, the meandering of thoughts. See, meditation can stop the meandering of thoughts. Meditation can, when you sit for meditation, it is also natural for you to get distracted. Mind won't be on the object of meditation, attention. It can think of something else. Closing your eyes, you are sitting, for other people you are sitting in meditation. But for you, attention is so scattered. It goes all over. You can think of so many things. This distraction of the attention or the mind is called vikshepaha. So either layaha, obstacle of layaha, sleep in meditation, or vikshepaha, distraction of attention. These obstacles are there in meditation, but you have to, know. That is why we have what? Our meditation becomes interrupted meditation. Either because of sleep or because of vikshepa, there is virala chintanam. But this virala chintanam has to be become what? Sarala chintanam. How can you overcome this layaha and vikshepaha by converting it into a sarala chintanam? How can you convert sarala chintanam? By making the flow of thoughts like what a meditation must be, like what must be like, you know, the flow, effortless flow of water in the stream and continuous flow of ghee into the fire, yagyakunda. So what does it stand? by developing, by discovering the value of object, thereby having love for object, thereby remaining attracted towards the object, now one can have what? Sneha. By having sneha for the object, one can have uninterrupted meditation, and also one the love for object of meditation, and it helps one have the effortless, meditation becomes effortless also. Is it clear now? We'll see more about it, contemplation later on. Oh my God, I think it's... Okay, now he actually goes going to explain what is contemplation. Having discussed about the meditation, manasam, japaha, etc., now actually what is meditation? A contemplation is meditation. Other than contemplation, anything you practice is what? No, is not meditation. If you focus attention on a given object which does not stand for Bhagavan, it's just the concentration. If you focus on attention of the mind on a given object which stands for Bhagavan, it is meditation. Still, that meditator meditated difference being there, that meditation will result only in mental steadiness. It will not bless you with vision of the reality. Ascertained vision of the reality, which is mokshaha. Why contemplation is the meditation? Because only in contemplation, your attention of the mind is focused on the very nature of the reality as the very self. And wherein meditator meditated difference is not there. That is when you are in meditation, that focusing the attention of the mind on the very surupa of the reality as the self, which is recognized as the self, in due course of time, will result in ascertained doubt-free vision of the oneness of reality, which is discovery of mokshaha. Ascertained vision of the oneness of reality, ascertained doubt-free vision of the non-duality of the reality is in fact discovery of fullness. Discovery of happiness, which is discovery of moksha, which is discovery of freedom, which is already there, which is attainment of moksha, which is the accomplishment, real accomplishment. Therefore, that alone is contemplation. But what is this contemplation? He's explaining now, he's going to explain that now.
Veda bhavana sohamityasau. Veda bhavanat sohamityasau bhavanabhida pavanimata bhavanabhida pavanimata Veda bhavanat sohamityasau Veda bhavanat sohamityasau bhavanabhida pavanimata Bhavana Veda Pavani Mata Veda Bhavana Sohamityasau Veda Bhavana Sohamityasau Bhavana Veda Pavani Mata Bhavana Veda Pavani Mata Veda bhavana sohamityasau Veda bhavana sohamityasau Bhavana bhida pavanimata Bhavana bhida pavanimata
This is, see, pavani mata. Mata means it is considered. It is considered means what? It is said to be. It is the vision. Mata means, matam means a view. Look at this. A matam means a view. Contention. It's called matam. Understand? Matam means opinion. What is opined? Manyate means opines, verb. Matam means opined. What is opined is what? Opinion. Opinion is what? A view, a contention is called matam. Okay, what is considered by you? What is viewed by you? What is, no, the contention is what? Matam can differ from person to person. My view can be different from his view. His view of a given thing can be different from hers. This way, any contention is subject to differ from person to person. Subject to any karuthu. Tamil we say karuthu. No? Oru porulai patri karuthu. Contention is subject to differ from person to person. But a fact cannot be different. A fact is the same for all of us. The views are different, contentions are may differ from person to person. But a fact is not cannot differ from person to person. Fact is one and the same for all of us. So that is why here mata means what? When you say mata in this context, mata means it is view of the Shruti. What is the view of the Shruti? View of the Shruti is the vision of the Shruti. Not individual view. It's not my view, it's not your view. It is a view of the Shruti. View of the Shruti is the vision of the Shruti. Vision viewed by Shruti. The vision of the Shruti is not a contention, an individual contention, but it is a vision, is a fact. Okay, the fact. Vision of the Shruti is what? View of the Shruti is vision of the Shruti. Vision of Shruti is a fact, not a contention. It is subject to differ from person to person. Understand now. So what is the here? What is viewed by Shruti here? No, it's here. What is viewed here? Pavani. It is said to be the most sacred, the most purifying, the most sacred. It is viewed by Shruti as the most sacred thing. What is viewed by Shruti as the most sacred thing? It is, he say here, Abhida Bhavana. You have to split it. Bhavana Abhida. Do you see that? Bhavana Abhida. If you split it, Bhavana Abhida. Abhida Bhavana Pavani Mata. Abhida Bhavana means what? Abheda Bhavana. Abhida is equal to Abheda. Abheda Bhavana. Abheda Bhavana is viewed as the most sacred. Or Abheda Bhavana is viewed by Shruti as the most sacred thing. Why? Because most purifying thing. What is Abheda Bhavana? That means to know what is Abheda Bhavana, you should know what is Bheda Bhavana. Isn't it? So, I am different, Lord is different. I am different from the Lord. I am different from the Lord. I am different from the reality. I am different from the Lord, the whole. The whole universe is the Lord means I isolate myself from the whole. As what? I am different from the Lord. This view itself, I am different from the Lord, is what? Bheda Bhavana. Why this difference is there? Why do I isolate myself from the whole, the Lord? Because I mistake the non-self for the self. Because this Bheda Bhavana itself is what? Due to the erroneous notion about the self. Due to Ahankara. Due to what? This erroneous notion is due to what? Due to my superimposition of limitations of the non-self upon the self. So why? Because I mistake the non-self for the self. When you mistake the non-self for the self, not knowing what the self is, naturally, I look at how do I view, what is my view now? My view is what? A thought, isn't it? View is in the form of a thought. Opinion, my contention is what? About the what I am is what? The contention. What is that? Notion is I am different from the Lord. I am different, Lord is different. I am different from the Lord. This is called Bheda Bhavana. Bheda Bhavana is due to what? the ignorance, self-ignorance, due to the erroneous perception of the self, due to the wrong notion and things about this self. This notion is what? I am different from the Lord is what? Bheda bhavana. Where is this? Bhavana means a thought. This notion, you think that you are different from the Lord is what? Bheda bhavana. I'll speak to you later, Bukana. I'm in the class, baby. Do you want to tell me anything? So, I am different from the Lord is Bheda Bhavana. So, Bheda Bhavanat, Shruti says, is Bheda Bhavanat, Saha Aham Iti Asau Abheda Bhavana Pavani. What is the most sacred here? What is Pavani here? What is most purifying here? Abheda Bhavana is the most sacred thing. What is Abheda Bhavana? Aham Saha, I am Saha Aham. That reality is in fact I. Understand now? I am that reality. I am that reality. I actually is that reality. Not I am. Understand now? I is in fact reality. Am is reality. Anything is reality. To know everything that is here is reality, you should know am is reality, you should know I is reality. Understand now? Everything is reality, is. Look at this. All that is here is nothing but reality. Everything is reality. This is a fact. To know everything is the reality, to know all the waves are H2O, like that, to know everything that is here, the mobile, immobile, elements, no, living, non-living, everything is actually basically, ultimately the reality. To know that, you should know am is reality. Am is reality means what? I is in fact reality. Understand now? I is reality. You should know that. If you do not know that, then what happens? I is different from reality. Am is different from reality. Therefore, what now? I am different from the Lord. Aham. Aham. Okay, I am an individual. Lord is the whole. Aham alpagyaha. Lord is sarvagyaha. Aham alpashaktiman. Lord is sarvashaktiman. Lord is almighty. I am little mighty. All Lord is all knowing. I am little knowing. Okay, Lord is omnipotent. I am little potent. All this Lord is everything. I am nothing. Okay, like this. All this Bheda Bhavana is what is due to. He's going to explain why this Bheda Bhavana. Okay, this is due to what? Erroneous self perception. Due to the self ignorance. This Bheda Bhavana is very natural. And then when this, whereas in meditation what happens? You are, meditator is different, the object of meditation is different. Understand now? That is different. Whereas in contemplation, you recognize the Swarupa of the reality as the very self and your attention of the mind is focused on the very nature of the reality. In contemplation, what you see, you understand. The contemplation will help you discover the oneness of reality when you say everything is Ishvara. So, Abheda Bhavana. Abhida Bhavana means Abheda Bhavana. What is that? I am that Lord. I is that reality. I am that Lord. Saha Aham. At least you know this much, no? Remember Saha? Saha, that Lord. Who is that Lord? Aham. Which aham? Understand now? This I thought. Aham, I am that Lord. This Abheda Bhavana. So Abheda Bhavana is what? Is in fact Pavani, the most sacred. More sacred than having Bheda Bhavana. Having, you know, looking at oneself being separate from the Lord. So, Veda Bhavanat, Abheda Bhavana, అభిదా భావన పావని మత కథం అభిదా భావన సోహం ఇతి అసౌ ఐఎమ్ దట్ లార్డ్ సహ అహం ఐఎమ్ దట్ లార్డ్ దిస్ ఐఎమ్ దట్ లార్డ్ ఇతి తస్ దిస్ దిస్ అభేద భావన దిస్ ఇస్ నో దిస్ నాన్ డిఫరెన్స్ దిస్ హ్యావింగ్ ది అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది నాన్ డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ ది ఇండివిజువల్ అండ్ ద లార్డ్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ No, Pavani, most sacred, most purifying, more sacred than what having the Veda Bhavana, looking at oneself being different from the Lord. Is it clear? So in contemplation, what you do, you meditate upon the very Swarupam of the reality. And where do you recognize Swarupam of the reality? In your own mind, as the very self. When you focus attention on the mind and the very self, the nature of the reality, there is no Bheda Bhavana. You understand? Whereas in meditation, there is Bheda Bhavana. You are different, the meditator is different from the object of meditation, the Lord. Whereas in contemplation, Bheda Bhavana is not there. Therefore, this is the more sacred. Why? Because contemplation alone, which involves abheda bhavana, the non-difference between the Lord and the meditator and the meditated, now will result in ascertained vision of the non-duality of the reality. Is it clear now? What he says, Veda bhavana sohamityasau, Veda bhavana sohamityasau, భావనాభిదా పవనిమత భావనాభిదా పవనిమత భేదభావనాత్ సోహమిత్యసౌ భేదభావనాత్ సోహమిత్యసౌ భావనాభిదా పవనిమత పవనిమత Therefore, see, saha aham, look at this now. I'm repeating it now. This Veda Bhavana and Abheda Bhavana. We have two now. Veda Bhavana, Abheda Bhavana. The view of the individual being non-separate, individual being different from the Lord, the whole, the total. And the vision of view and vision. Look at this. The view of the contention of the individual being different from the Lord the whole and the vision of the self being non-separate from the Lord the whole. Understand now? The non-separateness and separateness. This is the two things. The vision is there, view also is there. The view, the contention is due to ajnanam, adhyasa, adhyaropa, and what? Understand? Ahankara. And the vision is what? In the vision is vision of the reality wherein that ajnanam, adhyasa, adhyaropa, or ahankara, they're all resolved. Okay? So how to resolve these problems? Ajnana, adhyasa, adhyaropa, ahankara, how can they be resolved? How can that be vision of the non-duality or the oneness of reality or the how can you have the individual self being non-separate from the total, the Lord, the whole? How can you have that vision? He says here, that's why Mahavakya Vicharena. Mahavakya Saha Aham. That Lord indeed is I am. I am that Lord. I is that Lord. Am is that Lord. Everything is that Lord. So that I am that Lord. This I am everything. How to have this vision of non-separateness, inseparability, vision of non-difference, abheda bhavana. How can you have? So, vakya vicharena. What is vakya vicharaha? Enquiry into the meaning of this vakyam. What vakyam? Mahavakyam. What is a mahavakyam? A mahavakyam is a great statement. No? Great declaration, Vedic declaration. What is this great declaration? A statement where the smallest sentence which reveals the identity between the individual you and the Lord, the whole, which reveals the non-separateness, non-difference between the individual you and the Lord, the whole, is a Mahavakyam. Isn't it? The sentence which reveals, which reveals. So, unakkum bhagavanukkum ulla ottrumaiyai, vetrumaiyai, inmaiyai, puriya vekkindra vakyam is what? Mahavakyam. Which reveals the non-difference. Is a Mahavakyam. So, what is Mahavakyam? Tattvamasi. Aham Brahma Asmi, I am Atma Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma. There are so many Mahavakyams. Four are taken as main Vakyams. There are so many Mahavakyams. But for example, we always take this, the teacher teaches Tattvamasi. That's the one thing we have to hold on to always. Tattvamasi Mahavakyam. This Mahavakyam reveals the non-difference between the individual and the Lord, the whole, the total. How? It says, the Mahavakyam is in fact an equation, which you would have read in Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter, when you read, Tvam Padartha, immediately when Swamiji unfolds the meaning of the first verse, Ashochananvashochastvam, there he takes the word Tvam and he talks about this whole Mahavakyam. I don't know whether you have read it. Have you read the book? Mahavakyam. See, this Tattvam Asi is a Mahavakyam, and which Mahavakyam, there is, this Tattvam means that Lord, that reality, the reality of the whole Jagat, in fact, which alone is manifest as the whole, and the Paramparul, the Ellamaga Thondrugindra and the Paramparul, that reality is in fact you. Tattvam, that means that reality is in fact, you are that reality. Tvam Tad Asi. Tattvamasi means you have to put it like this. Tvam Tad Brahma Asi. You are that reality. Thou that art. That thou art. When you say, this is an equation. You are equated to Bhagavan the whole. You the individual are equated to Bhagavan the whole. How equated? Equation itself means equation, whenever something is equal to something else, there must be difference, there must be non-difference also. There's only difference, the equation is not possible. If there's no difference, then equation is not necessary. Equation is possible only if there's difference. There's also non-difference. Therefore, he says there is difference between the individual and the Lord. How difference is from the standpoint of something. The non-difference is also from the standpoint of something else. So from the standpoint of the nama rupas, there is difference. Like what? Which is called upadhi. When you say the wave is ocean, when you say wave is equated to ocean, wave, the individual wave, is in fact the ocean, the entirety. The standpoint of the name, the form and the name, the wave, the standpoint of the name and form, the ocean, wave is different, ocean is different, because wave is small in size, ocean is big in size, huge in size. Therefore, from the standpoint of the name and form, there is difference. That name and form is said to be what? Upadhi. The wave name and form is the upadhi for the wave. And the ocean name and form is upadhi for the ocean. Similarly, as an individual, we say the standpoint of the nama rupa, in fact, upadhis. This, what is the upadhi, individual upadhi? You know this thula, sukshma, karna, sharirani. Now, this subtle different layers of personality, subtle layers of personality, which constitute subtle body. Why I say for little subtle layers of personality? Because subtle body has no form. That is why I am saying. The subtle layers of personality, the subtle factors, subtle powers which indwell the functions, which indwell the gross body. And also this gross body, these are all upadhis. These are all upadhis. Individual upadhis. And the whole Jagat is what? Subtle, which is imperceptible, subtle universe, and the perceptible gross universe, the whole is what? Ishwar Upadhi. The standpoint of Upadhis, the Jagat and the individual body mind is complex, definitely there is Bedaha. Sarvagyatvam, Alpagyatvam, Sarvashaktimattvam, Alpashaktimattvam. Like that, no? We have this difference. Individual is different from Ishvara. The standpoints of Upadhis, difference is there. Whereas the standpoint of the reality, the truth without which individual Upadhi cannot exist at all, the reality, the truth without which the total Upadhi cannot, Ishvara Upadhi cannot exist at all, that reality is one and the same, not only one and the same, one indivisible, partless whole, in which alone the Jiva Upadhi exists, individual Upadhi exists, Ishvara Upadhi also exists. The wave exists in water, the reality, the ocean also exists in reality, water. Similarly, the whole Jagat, the body mentions complex, and all that is, and the whole Jagat also exists only in reality. That from the standpoint of the reality, there is no difference. What is the reality we are going to see later on? What is the reality that comes last? This is what is actually Tattvamasi Mahavakyam teaches. From the standpoint of the reality, there is no difference. Why? Because this reality, there is no second reality at all. Reality is one, not only one reality we say, what is there is only the reality. There is no second thing other than the reality. Therefore, what whole Jagat is? Ishvara. So, every individual Upadhi is, which forms part and parcel of the whole Jagat only. Therefore, there is no, from the standpoint of the Upadhis, the difference is there. The reality, there is no difference. Therefore, Aham, when you say, Aham, I am different from the Lord, is what? Beda Bhavana. In meditation, you are, as a meditator, you are different. And the object of meditation stands for the Lord, which is, if you are meditator, you the individual meditator, are different from the meditated habit of meditation, then Beda Bhavana is there. Isn't it? So this Beda Bhavana, with this Beda Bhavana, with this understanding, I the meditator am different from the Lord the meditated, is what? Beda Bhavana. Whereas I the meditator am in fact that reality, the Lord the meditated upon. Non-different. Okay? This non-difference is what? Abheda Bhavana. So, in contemplation, there is Abheda Bhavana. In meditation, there is Bheda Bhavana. Is it clear now? In meditation, there is Bheda Bhavana. There is a, what Bheda Bhavana? What is Bheda Bhavana? The Bheda Bhavana is the thought, the notion, the view that I am different from the Lord, the meditator. Whereas in contemplation, what is there? Abheda Bhavana. What is Abheda Bhavana? I, the meditator, am non-different from the Lord, the meditated, the reality. Abheda Bhavana. So, Abheda Bhavana is Pavani Mata. Abheda Bhavana is said to be the more sacred than this Bheda Bhavana. So, contemplation is actually the meditation, not the meditation wherein Bhavana, there is the difference between meditator and the meditated is there. Is it clear now? Abheda Bhavana, Bheda Bhavana. So, Abheda Bhavana, Pavani Mata. Then what? Abheda Bhavana. So, Bheda Bhavana, Bheda Bhavana, Sohamityasau. Veda bhavana sohamityasau bhavana bhida pavani mata
bhavana bhida
pavani mata veda bhavana sohamityasau veda bhavana sohamityasau bhavana bhavana bhida pavani mata bhavana bhida pavani mata. So you have to remember, Bhavana Abhida means Bhavana Abhida. And Bhavana Abhida, how do we take it? Abhida Bhavana Pavani. Okay? Beda Bhavana. So Abeda Bhavana Pavani. Beda Bhavana is not Pavani. Because Abeda Bhavana alone, this vision of the non-difference between the individual and the Lord alone will result in what? Accomplishment of moksha. Understand? Ascertained vision of the oneness of reality, which will help you what? Result in moksha. Whereas Beda Bhavana, I tell you, meditation, you know, wherein you see you separate yourself from the Lord, that will never help you have the ascertained vision of the oneness of reality. That will never help you accomplish moksha. That will only help you to steady your mind. So obey the, understand now? That is why you should know the limitation of meditation. And meditation is a preparation for contemplation, the actual meditation. Is it clear now? Now, the question comes, how can I be in contemplation? How can I contemplate upon or meditate upon, dwell upon the nature of the reality? He'll tell you everything. We don't just, you have to be with Ramana Maharishi. It's a slow gliding of the, you know that, the flight take off. He just goes like this and slowly it will take off like this. He takes step by step. Do you feel that? Mm-hmm. So, okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Shanti.